I'm Karen Merks, and this is Michael Jackson's Dream Lives On, an academic conversation, the official podcast of Michael Jackson Academic Studies. You can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Android, Spotify, and Amazon Music. You can also listen to the podcast and previous published podcasts on the website www.michaeljacksonstudies.org. This is episode 86 of Michael Jackson's Dream Lives On, an academic conversation. Your hosts are academic Elizabeth Amizou and academic Karen Merks. And today we discuss the recently published essay by Karen, me, Echoes Without Presence, AI, Michael Jackson, and the Crisis of Cultural Authenticity. So Liz, I'm going to ask you, because you peer-reviewed this intensively. What was your first insight?
I think it's a really important conversation to have. You know, if we trace the trajectory of AI, for me, it has kind of come through the episode that we did with Geneva S. Thomas, Nina Fonaroff, Essa Fonaroff, about Alper Yesterter's image of Michael Jackson, as if nothing ever happened. It's really funny because I've been watching like Victory Tour, and I've been watching television spots Michael Jackson did in the 70s, and I was really interested in this idea that he kind of disappeared but then he came back, and that's not true. He was always quite visible, you know. And then I've also been looking at some of the Sora. I don't know if you've seen some of the Sora AI stuff that people have been creating about Michael Jackson's image. Mm-hmm. That stuff's really, really like dodgy. A lot of that stuff is quite dodgy and a bit negative. And the biopic has also, the trailer for the biopic has come out as well. And that's being screened alongside, I think, Wicked for Good. Mm-hmm. So that's all. It's all of it. If all of these ideas are converging at a very important time, and it makes your essay very, very timely. It makes your essay mean a lot in terms of the time in which it's coming out. I think that for me, I found that AI is something that people are kind of scared of. And in terms of Michael Jackson's representation, like to sort of tackle it. And I think I was really, really proud of you because you tackled it head on. And also, we did a very brilliant talk on AI at Kingvention 2025, the one that was in May.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of very interesting feedback from the audience when we did that talk. If you were there, you know, shout outs to you for being there. Well done. We had some really good feedback from the audience. And then you said to me, oh, I'm going to write an essay on this. And I was like, And you're like, no, really, I'm going to do it. And I think like, kudos to you for doing it, for actually doing it. And they're still doing it your way. So I think that this essay is not going to just be like a scan through of all the AI stuff that there exists on Michael Jackson and then just some discussions about it. It goes way beyond that. And I think that's why it's really brilliant.
Thank you. Well, you know, you and I are artists, and we also experience the AI treatment if you don't watch for it. Let me be clear. I'm not necessarily against technology, not at all. Otherwise, we couldn't even have this conversation like this, which is brilliant. And I'm not against all AI, but I'm against how it's used. And I'm also very aware that what it did, scraping the internet, stealing, because that's not just, okay, I ask you for your consent. Am I allowed to use this? No, we just use it because it's convenient for us and it's there. And that is stealing. That's not just, so there is this controversy because suddenly, because big companies with billions of dollars making stealing a new normal. And I'm like, excuse me? But what are the consequences? And that is what this is about. The consequences for Michael Jackson's legacy today specifically. That is what this essay is about. But I think for all artists, writers, musicians, journalists, it has a huge impact. And it has a huge impact on humanity. So yeah, I just go with the questions. How does Michael Jackson's description of receiving music from above challenge the assumption that creativity can be reverse engineered or replicated through algorithms?
I don't know. I just feel like this is like a very obtuse kind of question. It feels like a very kind of back, like almost like a backward thinking question. So it's saying basically like, this is how Michael Jackson created music. Now, how does this challenge the algorithm? Well, obviously, he created music in a very specific way, and the algorithm is not specific to how he created music, so it's a problem. One,
Well,
two, yeah, go on.
yeah, I have deliberately did the research also with Emmy Gilchrist, who I quote quite and use quite a lot of times because he is the only one who actually also writes about AI and has his ideas, but he wrote about cre what creativity is. So in this essay, I deliberately go into the stages of creativity. And that is something that coming from above, I understand that. It's when you
Yeah, but
don't,
you have to connect that dot
but you have to connect that with neurology
with
in a way
AI,
that,
because it's like you're talking about Michael Jackson's creativity, but how does that connect to AI? Like,
well, it
what?
doesn't connect to AI. What does connect to AI is that, what Michael Jackson did and his creativity and how he created is mimicked by AI, but there is not the timing, there's not the rhythm, there's not the breath, there's not the embodiment, there's not the emotion. It's machine created. What he did was not machine created. He and a lot, most musicians have whole brain functioning. So you start with rigorous training. And he did that. And then you receive, or you know, like, okay, I have this bass and I do something with this bass. And then you have, like, and now what? And then he was able to let it go. And then, to what he says, it came from above. He received that. That is how creativity happens. And I write in the essay specifically how Emmy Gilchrist describes that about the frontal lobe and the right amygdala, et cetera, the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere is about emotion, is about the sensation, the sensitive. AI can never have that. Never. AI is machine patterns, data that can replicate if styles and so it can have that synthetic processing, which is in Michael Jackson, synthetic intelligence. And the movement, the complete integration of movement, rhythm, emotion, and storytelling. AI can mimic that, but can never have the deeper layer, the deeper sensation, the deeper senses. And that is the problem. So you create
But
something
what
that
if
never
people are not
existed.
looking for the deeper senses? They're not looking for the layered
Well,
texturality.
let's
But people
say
just want
that,
something surfaced.
yeah, that's all nice and well. And to be honest, it's only 1 to 3% of the people who can actually perceive that because of how, and yeah, an AI and how it's perceived and how we work with it and how people work with it. It actually, and we are constantly looking through the screen. That already diminishes this whole emotional regulation, the being able to read faces, being able to sense those things.
Yeah.
And that is okay, but what you receive then is that over time, you start to misremember. You have this idea, oh, this was Michael Jackson. No, it wasn't. AI creates, fabricates its own legacy, a legacy that never existed. And that's the problem.
think it's very interesting that you talk about this AI generating a fabrication or a simulation as opposed to an emulation of Michael Jackson. You talk about digital resurrection, and I think that's really, really important. And you say that the trajectory traces back to the 2014 hologram performance. You know, that was sort of like a precursor to AI. That was a trick called Pepe's ghost trick they used to make it look as though the model dancing was in 3D. How do you think that this digital resurrection affects the legacy of the real Michael Jackson, who was obviously passed away?
Well, how it is, it's not real. It's a copy. It doesn't exist. He doesn't exist anymore. So you know, I know, and a lot of people who are have lived through the era of Michael Jackson know, but there will be multiple people who do not know. So you create something, a copy of a copy, a simulacrum, as Baudrillard would say. But I can go even further. Because Plato already talked about mimesis. Yeah, Michael Jackson used the opposite. He used emulation. He, in his words, learn from the greatest and become greater. That is emulation. Mimesis is a copy of a copy. Plato already talked about that. That's why Plato, at his time, dismissed the arts, and he talked about the arts and writing. Poetry in specific, it's a mimic. So, what's the use? We are now living in the world of mimesis 2.0.
Okay, so your essay examines the implications of AI-generated simulations on the legacy of Michael Jackson. What do you think the proliferation of AI images of Michael Jackson will be on the legacy of his work?
Well, we remember something that has never existed. So we create something that
Misremember.
he never created.
Misremembering and misremembering.
Disremembering and misremembering. And to be honest, yeah, remembrance in itself, you know, it's and we talk about that often, is not something that is very common. We think remember something, but sometimes there is a bias or a desire or a later interpretation. That is misremembering. It's a distortion. Disremembering is actually when there is an absence. So that can be tied to power, exclusion, trauma. And in cultural analysis, it highlights what a culture or institution chooses not to remember. So we choose, we remove voices, and we have done that. We removed voices from history, history suppressed, and events rendered unsaleable. But that is what AI does, because AI is displaces something. So you get images of Michael Jackson that are taken out of context, out of the narrative, because it creates something that never existed. And we do this also with his art. So someone created a movie, a short film with AI, and I have that in my resources and my references, based on a song of Michael Jackson. But Michael Jackson never made that movie. So, in so many years, what happens? What do people remember or disremember? Because they altered something. So, it's not AI as such. You know, AI is a machine. AI is filled with data and it can do things. But how do we use it? And how then do we use it in regards to an artist like Michael Jackson?
Really interesting that you said this because it's a debate that's come up a lot. There's a book called The Michael Jacksons, which is all about impersonators and the, you know, the concept of impersonation. You talk about this concept of mimesis. Is it not an extension of impersonation, like what's happening with the AI, the AI depictions of Michael Jackson? You know, is
Well,
it a specific, is it an homage to him? Is it a Well,
Bender, is it?
I
Yeah.
don't know, Liz. Yeah, I what you say, so mimesis 2.0. I would Yeah.
say that is mimesis 1.0 because they're people
Okay.
themselves. They train it, they do it, and they do this because they want to mimic their hero. But
Yes.
here you have the thing. It's mimicking the hero. And you have many musicians who copy their hero, but they never get their own voice. That's the difference. Michael Jackson might have copied his heroes, but he got better than them. He used it in a different way. He created his own art with it and from it.
Yes,
Which,
yes.
so there you have a huge difference. AI has accelerated that because now everyone under the sun can do something
Yeah.
and mimic what he did. And if we just do not understand the implication of that for the legacy, because this is multiplying at speed light, before you know it, we only see that and we only know that. And we forget who he was and what he did and what he actually created himself.
Okay, I think the interesting thing for me is obviously about the concept of living memory and how short-lived that is. You know, you talk about the estrangement of us and future generations from Michael Jackson's art. And you talk about the fact that AI could be used to actually preserve his legacy without compromising authenticity. I think that's really, really fascinating. I love this concept of estrangement. Look at, you know, Michael Jackson with the same eyes I look at Shakespeare, and I always think that we're eternally almost befriended by Shakespeare's image, but we don't have the same connection to Michael Jackson's image.
No.
And I think that that's interesting because obviously Michael is still in living memory. And we're talking from a concept of living memory, which is really, really important. It's like you talk about Mickey Bell, the concept of being quite close to your art, close to the research text. So I just think, you know, I wanted you to speak a little bit on estrangement, you know, the concept of estranging us from you and future generations from Michael's art. What did that mean, that estrangement?
Well, if you, I always like our conversations because of Shakespeare and how you can weave that in. And we now know who Shakespeare was, didn't we?
No,
We
we
didn't
don't.
have an image of him,
No,
but
we
we
don't.
have an image of Michael Jackson. We have that boy with the broad nose and the wide eyes and the high cheeks and the afro. We have all the images, even of his plastic surgery. We have that. They're there.
I just don't think it's important, personally.
What?
Of all the things, I just don't think it's very important. Like, I was
No,
watching.
but what the point is, what you see is that people are starting to like that image that we discussed in the podcast. They start to, or this could have been. Does it even matter what could have been?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Could have been.
Are we
And
taking away from
why
what
would you?
is?
And taking away from what is. So Michael is a lived memory, and I think we need to, if we take all the bits and the bobs and we put them in somewhere, you take it out of context. So Mickey Ball is talking about narratology, and narratology is also about culture and how culture is shaping a story and a cultural memory. And we start to erode that if we take all the fragments, because AI is fragmented and everyone is making his own thing about Michael Jackson. We take the narrative away. We decontextualize who he was and what he did and how that is perceived. And that decontextualization makes that
Decontextualization.
we do not understand the story anymore, because with AI we have created a totally different story that never existed.
So the story that you argue that is being told is the wrong one. The story that needs to be told, which is the story you tell really beautifully in your essay, is of how Michael Jackson wrote his songs and got his ideas. And you
That's one
use
of the
that as,
stories, yeah.
as evidence to show the limitations of AI.
I show the limitations of AI, but also Michael Jackson was not just the spectacle, like he loved spectacle on stage. I want to create what people never imagined because he was able to imagine it. Yeah. AI has no imagination at all. But he had, we erase a narrative tension, that of the racial. He was very much, I mean, they don't talk about us. Let's talk about
They don't
that. The
care about
racial,
us.
they don't care about us. The spiritual, he was very spiritual. The artistic, he was very artistic in all ways, even on the level of visual art, although that was his private sanctuary and not for the public. That was not to be good or great. It was to have to release the stress. And in all that, those were integral in his storytelling. And so when you
Yes.
take that out, you decontextualize his work in isolated AI images and clips and what people want to see. But even, and I had this discussion with a film producer on Kingvention. He came to me and he said, I really like what you said because I agree. And what do you think when we create Michael Jackson's originals that had another format than the 19 by whatever,
Sixteen by
the
nine.
60 by 9 format? I said, well, you create a space that never existed. And so you take it out of context and you do not respect what he did. He was innovative in his time. He was innovative at his time. That was what he had. That was what he could do. And even then, he went further than general in general. And he agreed with me. And he was a filmmaker or producer or someone. I said, thank you so much. I agree with you. Because you create space around it that never existed. You cut off because you have to. And you distort the image, you distort the narrative, you distort the deeper sense of what is. And Michael Jackson had a message in his work. Yes, he was for the mass, but he was massively misinterpreted also. And he was massively, there was this fear for the unfamiliar because he always looked for the unfamiliar. That was his power. And that was because he had. And I go back to the neurology, because when you have whole brain function, and McGilchrist talks about that, and I'm a classically trained artist, I have it too, and that is not like hoo-hoo, I have that. No, that's trained. That's trained. And that's because we need to do things in a different way. And so you train that. And so yeah, then you what you get, and that's what the media did, an attempt to control. Or diminish what he did, or give him a role, what Marge did, like you need to save or you need to solve this whole thing about racism. Excuse me? What the heck are you talking about? So you reduce the artist to fragments, and then you get AI replicas, gossip, scandal, false allegations, you name it. Because he wasn't understood. Intuition is something very human, and we all have it, but not all have you make use of it. And it's not woo-woo. Neurological research is proving that it is there. And of course, he said it comes from above. I know the feeling. That's why I placed myself in the as an experience in it. I had that standing on stage. Being totally in a trance, playing the music, and it is a and it's a feeling that I can't even put into words, but you feel that the whole the all the people in the concert hall and you and the pianist who accompanied me are one. There is such a huge, that's an energy I can't even describe, and then you finish and the music fades out. And you open your eyes, and the whole concert hall, everyone is going up and start applauding. Because, and that is magic. And then you can say, how, what happened here? It's also not something that happens every single time, but as a classically trained musician, Michael too, you know that, but you're there for the public. It doesn't matter. If even if there's one person, you do that. So you use that. And that is, it's the same as I paint, I come back and I look at it and damn, did I do that? That all, because there happens something. And that can only happen when you have mastered the skill and the skills, something he really did. Because when you do that, I always say, master the skill, then let go. And when you let go, you're relaxed and you actually start to paint, and you have your muscle knowledge, and you have the knowledge of how to apply, you have the knowledge of how the music is, you know it, and you start to get other things into it. You start to, you know, that's why AI can never, that little high that he does, that little breath, that little pause, AI can never replicate that because that is so intuitive. And every concert, it will be different. Yeah, when you listen to a CD or a vinyl, it's there because it's recorded. But in a concert, it will be different all the time. It all depends on, and that's why all art in that sense is embodied. AI can never replicate that. It can replicate a lot, but then still, you live in a replication, and we should honor what he was. We should honor his legacy as he left it to us without tampering with it. Because that's another thing. It was his art. He created it, not the fans.
You have a tension there. There's a conflict there when you talk about he shouldn't be tampered with because times are changing and technology is changing. And you know, for example, we have the remastering of tracks in 2012. You have the 4K versions of things that have come out recently of short films. And unfortunately, this is a comment that was made in the convention discussion. Doesn't Michael Jackson stand the risk of being left behind if he doesn't move, if his work doesn't move with the times?
But here's the difference, Liz. That is to the estate and his children and his family, not to the fans. That it would be the same. You write fantastic books. I have read everything you write, all your novels, the whole Sekador series, you name it. I read it. And by the way, everyone who listens, I highly recommend them. You have a specific voice. Yeah, that's your voice. You have mastered that. I know that. You've mastered that. And then suddenly AI takes your voice, and I go and I say, okay, I want to write a novel. Use my Elizabeth Amizu's voice. How is that? When the estate also feels like blah, and well, we can say a lot about the estate, but they are for the money there. But when they say, okay, we have to, then they are allowed to do that. They are also should, and that is the things that I have written. What can AI do without distorting his authenticity? That is archive in a good way. Annotate the dance moves and so that people and scholars can study him, study the greatest and try to become greater than he was. Try it. Do the actual work, please. So there's a difference. The estate has the copyright. It's his copyright, their copyright now. Not the fans. The fans have no copyrights. They are infringing on his copyright, and that's very disrespectful, extremely disrespectful.
So
So
you
when
talk
I'm,
about the flattening of complexity and the mechanization of imagination. I think you have to be quite clear for the audience whether you think AI does have imagination or not. Because you talk about the
No, it
mechanization of
doesn't.
imagination. Mechanization of imagination. And so people imagining things, then putting it into AI and then having that result and then saying that that's what they imagined, but it not necessarily the way it works.
No.
And then you talk about the
So,
flattening of complexity, which I think is really important, like removal of the cultural conflicts originally shaped Jackson's work, allegations, racial tension, all of that stuff, activism. And so I think that you need to speak to, you could speak to the mechanization of imagination and the flattening of complexity.
Well, the flattening of complexity, I've already talked about that. And Michael Jackson was a highly intelligent, highly sensitive, and intuitive artist with a really a kinetic cognition and a really high syncretic intelligence. But he also had his traumas from his childhood. He had his complexities in whatever it was. That's not up to us, by the way. We're all human. But he also, when I said the racial tensions, the spiritual, the artistic, and he embodied that. He showed that. I mean, let's talk about that dance, where he really, the panther dance, that is an embodiment of where he shows the narrative of racism, and not just a bit, but like really. That is, he was complex. And I think all artists are complex because they have a huge, he had a huge imagination. And I had to think about the book Grasping the Spectacle. That's all what they do. They try to grasp the spectacle. The only thing they can touch upon is the outer, but they can't go deeper. And that is a thing that is a problem. That is a problem a huge problem for artists anyway. I think it's also a problem for Shakespeare, and has been a problem for Shakespeare. But Shakespeare is fortunate enough that he has so many people who study him and have studied him for over 400 years. Michael's legacy is fragile. It just started. And it's already tampered with. It has already all kind of 3D renderings, his deep fake voice used in whatever. So that's the complexity. You take out someone who is an artist, who embodied that all. And then you create it into hyper-real images and hyper-real thing, simulacra. It's an echo of an echo, and it is empty. So it loses meaning. And the other question you asked was, oh, imagination. No, imagination is typically something of the right hemisphere. Typically something of the right hemisphere. So the right hemisphere is the master about listening, feeling, sensing, and imagination. The left hemisphere is the technical execution. So you learn how to play the cello. You learn how to write the book. You have to learn how to make the structure. You have to, like me, I have to write an essay, an academic essay, and I have to make sure it's in the right structure. I have to make sure it's readable for people. That, and it's fragmented. It doesn't see the big picture. It sees fragments. And that is exactly what AI does. It sees fractured. It has no imagination. So when someone thinks, oh, I have an idea, and he puts it in AI, that's lazy. And that is a point where we have landed now, also in the arts. It's because the brain wants easy. The brain doesn't want to step out of the comfort zone. No, it wants easy. And AI gives us that. And so, yeah, people will, in that respect, think, well, I have this idea. I just put it in AI and see what comes from it. But is that imagination? No, it's not their imagination. because they first have to master the skill, really rigorous, master the skill. It's for a reason that it's called mastering. And then their imagination, they can use it. And that is the problem of today. You see it also in the arts. In painting, the old masters learned by painting from their master. They copied their master, but they got their own voice. An example of Picasso, for instance, he mastered, he copied all the masters, he copied them to find his own voice. What you see now is a lot of copy, no own voice. It's all mass blubber. Michael Jackson rose, his bar was high. And even in music, you know, Usher and all those people, they copy Michael Jackson. They have no own voice. So imagination is not in AI. Imagination is within you, but you have to master the skill. So, and what responsibility do then creators, you, me, scholars, you, me, fans, and archivists have, and they carry in resisting this future where simulation eclipses imagination? I don't think we need to resist, but we need to be very aware of what we're doing to a body of work that has hardly been ripened to get into a legacy like that of Shakespeare, for instance. We need to study it, how it was. We need to embrace it, how he, and not this hunger for, and it is what society brings us, this hunger for better pixels, more pixels. Is that leaving behind? No, it's not leaving behind. You know, not everyone and everything will be in 4K, 5K, 6K, whatever will be. Sometimes it is what it is, and it is brilliant because we can position it in that time. And then we can actually see how massively innovative he was. But we don't honor that. Well, I do, but most don't honor that. They want, no, I need a 3D. Michael Jackson wanted ripe earth 3D. And
Gone.
what?
He said right path.
Earth song. Ripe earth.
Would
Sorry,
have loved
guys.
that. I would have loved Michael Jackson to want right path 3D.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
this is a brilliant book. I think my favorite book of Liz. Yeah. Read it, read it, read it. No, not Ripe Earth,
A
but
song.
Earth Song. He wanted that 3D. And I thought people are going to ask me, yeah, problem, because you hear this often, that flat rhetoric, like, oh, if he would have lived, he would have loved AI. No, I don't think so.
We
Because he
don't
had
know,
his,
though. We just don't
we
know.
don't know, but honestly, based on what I have researched about creativity and how I feel that myself, explore that myself and live that myself, I know he had his ideas and he would have done it because he wouldn't have loved the outcome. The it's too flat. It's that it's he wanted real 3D filmed, and that was what he was doing. And so that is, but that is always his choice. Because it was his work, his art, not someone else's art, not the art of fans. We have to respect that.
Okay, I want to bring to you an example. So, for example, in This Is It, there's some sequences of Michael Jackson that were shot with him in classical Hollywood cinema films. And wasn't that essentially MJ like tampering with somebody else's art? You know, because like he's inserting himself into the frame. Of a shot of a sequence from a classical Hollywood cinema film.
Yeah.
Was sort of like editing it and remaking it in his own image. Don't you think that Michael Jackson himself also like had some interesting ideas about tampering with other artists' work?
I think there is a difference. There is a difference. I mean, using other people's art, you name it, you mention them. And in film, he had to create, I don't know if he edited the black and white. I think he framed it in that way. I don't know if he really used, maybe in the background, that film. That's possible. I don't know. I don't even know if that's possible. But it's an interesting question. I think it has to do with artist to artist honoring. Like I can sketch
Okay,
a
Ahmad.
Rembrandt. I can sketch a Rembrandt, add it into my work, and then honor him. But I sketched it. I will never put Rembrandt on under it. You know, that's fake.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that when you see a three when you see a film and you have like, yeah, the estate never does it, so I do it myself. It's still not your art. It's not your place. And I've seen this. It's not your place. It's copyright infringement. Definitely and massively. Also deep fake, by the way. It's massive copyright infringement. But there is another thing. What we don't know behind the scenes is if he asked the consent of the ones who made those film, of that studio who made that film. We don't know that. And I bet he did, because you can't just say, okay, I take this out of my library and I place myself into it. No, but that's
You
what
can't.
you can't. You get a
Yeah.
lawsuit on your behind massively.
Yeah.
But fans thinks they can do it because they think, why not? I can. I have AI. No, it's copyright infringement and it's extremely disrespectful. You do not honor the art of what he created. What Michael Jackson made in This Is It was a new piece of art with work that he probably had asked to be used. Otherwise, they don't do that. And he got the consent. Our fans don't have the consent for that. It's the same as the estate. Estate has the copyrights. Period. If they want to create AI replication or whatever they do, 4K was it, with AI of Gem, that's what they can do. But there, I sense a huge amount of money behind it, because then it's speaking to the hunger of the pixels.
Yeah, for like more, just more, for more
More,
sake.
more, 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 more. We are
Not
never
for any
satisfied.
specific reason, but just to have more of the same.
We want more, more, and more, and we are never satisfied. But how
I think
about
that's, yeah, I think that's really
respect?
important. I think it's really important to understand. The desire for more doesn't necessarily need to be placated.
No.
We should always be left with a desire for more when it comes to Michael Jackson because he passed away early. We should always be left with a sense of what was, what could have been. And any attempts to sort of erase that, the erasure of that, is a sort of like disrespectful to his memory.
And then I still have, we had this discussion. I think it's one of our first episodes. We talked about 400 years, 400 Shakespeare, 7 years, Michael Jackson, something like that.
Shakespeare 400,
And
MJ7.
exactly. And we had like, how would it be if, and our vision then totally different. We didn't even know about AI.
No, we didn't.
So we had like, oh yeah, he will be studied, his music will be in libraries, it's well documented, scholars are on it. Scholars are not on it, and everyone
No,
is
but
tampering with.
you
Yeah.
are, and this essay is, and this podcast is,
And
so
you
there's
are.
still, and I'm doing the PhD, so I still think I still have hope. Michael Jackson's always reminded us to have hope.
We have
That.
to honor the greatest. We have to honor the greatest. And it is something that Imma Gilchrist also writes. And I will see if I can get that quote quickly out of that book. This is the book, The Master and His Misery. And he writes, purely intellectualized, consciously derived art is congenial to the age because it's easy and therefore democratic. It can be made to happen on a whim without the long experience of apprenticeship leading to skill and without the necessity for intuition, both of which are in part gifts and therefore unpredictable and undemocratic. Skills have been de-emphasized in art as elsewhere in culture. The atomistic nature of our individuality is made clear in Warhol's tongue-in-cheek ambition for us each to be famous for 15 minutes. We've all got to be as creative as one another, to accept that some people will always be exceptional is uncomfortable for us. Instead of seeing great art as an indication of what humanity can achieve, it comes to be seen as an expression of what another being, a potential competitor, has achieved. But a society is, or should be, an organic unity, not an assemblage of bits that strive with one another. It is as if every organ in the body wanted to be the head. So,
Fantastic. I think it's a really good note to kind of like close on.
yeah, I think so too. And I encourage people to read it. And you can always ask us questions. Please do. Also, Liz, because she has peer-reviewed this massively.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on michaeljacksonstudies.org, on the contact page. You can obviously get in touch with us and talk to us about what do you think about Michael Jackson AI? You have any ideas about like the reprocessing of work and the frictionless hyperreal images we see of Michael Jackson? Do you have any ideas about narrative tensions, about his artistic life? Are you reading Dangerous Philosophies or are you reading this essay? I think I want to just turn everybody's minds towards Karen's other essay, Michael Jackson and the Foucauldian Outlaw, because that was a fantastic essay from a few years ago that I think is well worth reading. We're going to put it in the show notes. And last month, promotion for Dangerous Philosophy's online course was really successful. I would like to thank every single person who signed up for the course and enrolled. They obviously got their free copies of Dangerous Philosophies. And I just would like, just like to say that I really appreciate you guys for buying the course. I really, really appreciate that. Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm glad that people do because we need to keep studying Michael Jackson and respect the greatest. Just what Imma Gilchrist says, you don't have to be the same. Find
No.
your own voice, create your something yourself, take your hands off of his work, but study the greatest and become greater.
Yeah,
And
that sounds like a little bit of a contradiction, but
no. No, it's not a contradiction.
mimesis is not a problem. Oh, no, I don't think mimesis is not a problem, and emulation I don't think is a problem. Just think that there's a line that doesn't need to be crossed. Most people know where that line is, but some people don't.
Well, mimesis would be if you start to dance like Michael Jackson and to make music like him, but not using his voice in your work, or alter his work because you want 3D or 4K or whatever it is. Leave that to the people who have the actual copyright. And if you want to create something, create it yourself. But you can learn from him. That's what he did too.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Karen has some amazing courses on onlineartseducation.co.uk for artists and creatives. My Michael Jackson Studies courses are available there as well. We want to wish you a very, very happy seasoned greetings. Our next episode is coming soon, and we just want to tell you that it's all for love. So take care of yourselves.
Take care of yourselves. Bye. Thank you all for listening. It's all for love.